I am very thankful to be here again tonight. My wife had shared with me today, we were talking about Gary. And my wife, when she said, you know, I found this thing about the end of the year. And she said, it just reminded me of Gary. He always puts a smile on my face. And it was about standing on your right foot and lifting up your left foot at just the right moment so that you end the year on the right foot. And I thought, that is a lot like Gary. He gets the last word. I hope the Lord gets the last word, but I hope he gets to use Gary. And I know he came. I always enjoy his smile, his desire. And so I ask that you give him your time and your attention, and that you'd pray for him.
Well, thank you, Joel. And thank you, Jen. And I'm thankful to be here tonight. And, you know, the Lord does have the last word. And I actually am reading a book. It's called Never Finished. And it's by ex-Navy SEAL David Goggins. And it's interesting how this year, as it was explained to us at the beginning of the year and earlier today, how fast it goes by. And I am just so grateful to be able to experience so much in such a little amount of time. And I try to express my gratitude towards the Lord and all the things that I do and for people. Because Lord has truly blessed all of us. All of us have been blessed with the Lord. And, you know, the Lord calls on you at all times. And just before I was preparing for this evening, you guys have all met Teresa and she and her husband, James. And James had passed away here recently. And she had an issue at the house. One of the pipes was busted on the side of the house for the sprinkler, so I went over there and was taking care of her. But she knows that I was coming to church, and she didn't want to be a bother. And I said, "Sister, this is no bother to me at all. And to be able to help you in a time of need is not only a blessing for me, but hopefully a blessing for you too." So, you know, I'm thankful that she is in good spirits with her husband's passing, and we're there to support her at all times, and she knows that, and she's grateful for that. But, you know, I was thinking about that, and it's kind of uncanny because the title of my sermon tonight is Fruit of the Vine, and I'm going to be talking about some of these things in the vine, and I've never really preached a sermon on this before, so what got me thinking of preaching on the vine and giving God the glory for how we are a part of that. And I'll be honest with you, I've been dealing with a lot of fruits lately, and I'm not speaking about my kids, but I deal with them too. And there's one of my jokes that probably Jen appreciates a whole lot. And hi, Jen, and hi, all those that are tuning in. My wife's feeling under the weather tonight as well, so she's probably shaking her head at me at home as well for that ridiculous joke, but it's okay. And that's who I am, and I'm thankful for how God made me the person that I am, and that I'm comfortable in being able to express my love through the blessings that he gives myself, my family, my brothers and sisters. And so as I've been dealing with fruit lately, I've been making and I've been undertaking the study of jam. And so I be jamming lately, and it's really cool. I actually do listen to my kid. I put in my earbuds, and I've been making all kinds of jams, and it's really been a great experience. But it's something that my grandma would do. My grandma did a lot of canning when I was growing up, and I just started taking that on, and I find kind of a sense of peace when I do those things, and it's enjoyable to me, and it's something that not only my family can enjoy, but others can enjoy as well. Some of the individuals in this room have reaped the rewards of my jam, and it's really neat. And one of the things I appreciate is how those things that are provided in such a simplicity from the Lord can bring such joy. And, you know, we're going to talk about some things in my sermon about how the struggles and the things that we deal with can be very difficult, but we can overcome. And through those things, we can learn so much. And as we're going through life, we can be a part of this vine, this body of Christ, to be able to provide to others in so many different ways. And so I wanted to start off, and I wanted to read John chapter 15. You're welcome to read along here. It's a little bit of a lengthy few verses here, so I didn't put it up on the screen. But it says in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And that's one of the important things we're going to talk about. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And I think about that as we're coming to the close of this year, and it's going to be just hours away now, 5 hours and 45 minutes, and how important it is just to continue on doing those things that the Lord calls us to do. You know, the vineyard, as it's referred to, is the world, and as Christ was planted in the vineyard, he is the vine, and this planting of him into the vineyard in this world that we live in is when Christ became of the flesh. And one of the things I was thinking about with this is that this was something that was intentional. It was to be intentional. It was to be in our lives, for us to be able to share that, to be a part of it, and to be in other people's lives. And I started doing a little bit of research on the vine, and there's a few things that I have here. And as you can see, I'm truly a lover of plants and working with them and gardening. And I appreciate all that God has created. But as I was looking into this, the grapevine and the growth of it and what it looks like, it's not really the most beautiful thing you have gazed upon. You know, I've shown pictures of flowers and cactus that are blooming in the past over the year, and I really appreciate the beauty of those things. But you know, you look at the grapevine and the trunk of it, if you want to call it that, and it's just covered in knots, and it's just the bark is all over the place. There's really no rhyme or rhythm to this plant. But yet, you know, we were told in Isaiah 53:22 that for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So one of the things I was thinking about, you know, you look in society, and we were watching old episodes of Friends last night. It like popped on after the football game, and I was like, what is going on with like the ladies in the episode were wearing all this makeup, and it like, you know, at least she was saying, well, that's how they used to wear their makeup. And I was like, it's like too much. It's the blush was all over the place. And one of the things that I've learned is that People refer to that as being star washed. You know, you could take the normal person and you could go and you could do all these glamorous things to them and they're star washed and it totally changes their appearance. Well, I was thinking about that. And, you know, it's, as Christ is related to the vine, you know, Christ wasn't star washed. He wasn't something that people stargazed at. He was just a normal person and he was, you know, probably rough around the edges. You know, he didn't have the opportunity to bathe every day. He didn't have a pedicure or manicure, all those nice things that come with his time. You know, he was probably a pretty rough cut person. But, you know, the Lord tells us it's not the outwardly appearance that we look at. It's the inwardly appearance. And it's interesting because of how beautiful the gospel that the Lord has given us, how beautiful Christ is in his walk when he was put into this world, when he was spreading his gospel throughout the land. And it actually drew people in. And it's something that in our nature that when we engage with other people, when we meet people at the grocery store, when we help people out, that's what Christ desires from us. You know, it's not wearing the best shoes that we can buy, the fanciest clothes, but it's what we can give of our best from the inside. You know, that love, that charity. We were at Safeway just the other day shopping the sale, and they had, I don't know if any of you have been experiencing this, but it seems like eggs are like having a shortage again. So we were at Safeway and there was a gentleman there and he was in an electric cart. And as we were shopping the sale, we were over by the eggs and the milk and the creamer and we were getting all that stuff. And, you know, the half gallons of milk were on sale for 99 cents. And I think you could get two. I think the limit was two. Well, there was only three left. And he was there in front of the cooler with his electric cart. And I kind of had that notion that this gentleman was needing the milk. And, you know, the half gallons of milk were a little higher up than he would have to get up out of his electric chair. He was an elderly man. And I said, "Hey, mister, you know, are you looking to get this milk that's on sale?" And he was like, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. But if you need to," because we could both see that there was, the shelves were empty too, like with the milk as well, because of the good sale. And he said, "Well, if you need the milk, you go ahead and take it." And I said, "Well, how many were you looking to get? Because there was only three." And he said, "Well, I was looking to get two." And I said, "You know what? Not a problem. My wife and I, we come to the store all the time. I got him the 2 gallons of milk. I sat him in his basket." And you could just tell when you engage with a person, how appreciative he is of the things that unfolded at that time. And you know, it's something simple like that, that I found an opportunity. God presented an opportunity to be kind to somebody. And I really appreciated that because I have that desire to express the love of God and to do good to people. And I think when we do that, you know, you have that opportunity to honor the Lord and to show him that as a humble servant, even in the smallest of needs for somebody, you're willing to step up and show your appreciation of God by blessing somebody else, even though you're without, which never were without. The Lord provides every day for us, and there's no worries with that. But I do appreciate the pictures that we have here and appreciate the messages that the Lord gives us and helps us be able to focus on that which is real and that which is good and that which provides. And, you know, the Lord in those previous verses tells us that, you know, this is something, an opportunity for us to be a part of. And as you can see, I think on your left here, these are the grapevines. And when you get them all together, I don't know, I'm sure many of us have seen these fields, these areas where they I don't know if you would call that an orchard, but how beautiful it is. And, you know, sometimes you just see these extending as far as the eye can see. And the amount of work and time that is put into that very careful preparation to be able to produce a fruit that's good, that could be useful in so many different ways, is something that is also given to us through the gospel. The Lord helps us be able to understand, to use, and to apply that, to be a part of that vine that's going throughout the whole world. And so, you know, that's something that to the ends of the earth, and our work is never ending to get that gospel out there and to let it thrive throughout the nation. So I'm really appreciative of that. And so I wanted to read a couple of verses, because I was thinking about reflecting back on the year and anticipating the things that are coming, especially in this world with all the chaos and craziness that is out there, and kind of calculating, you know, am I on course? Am I off course? Where does God see me at this time? And that brought me to these verses in Alma 28 through 31. It says, "Have you received his image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality, and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body?" And so I think about those things that have transpired over the year. Where's my heart? I know the Lord made this mighty change in my heart. And where's my focus? And where am I going? And am I glorifying God? And, you know, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet because a lot of times you feel as if you're inadequate. And I know that Satan works on our hearts. I know that there are struggles that all of us have. It's difficult mentally in this world with all the pressures that are going on. But I think about those things that helps us to be determined in our decisions and to keep that steadfastness in God, and to give us the ability to expand our limitations and to maximize our potential to serve him. And it's in so many little subtle ways that we do that. You know, it's not one day it's going to be this side of the spectrum, and the next day you're going to be a completely different person. I believe, and I've seen, and the Lord has proven that this is a change over time, and he softens our heart, and he helps us be able to do that work in confidence, through courage of knowing that he's there to support us psychologically and mentally. You know, we work through these things so that we build these strategies of how to handle every situation. And I appreciate the maturity that the Lord brings into our hearts and our minds to address certain issues that we deal with in ourselves, helping us put off the former self. And, you know, it's a bittersweet thing when we think about the fruit that we could provide for the Lord, and how, even though if we suffer in this world, that it's so sweet when we come to the end of those challenges, when we could provide to others in experience and in knowledge and share the love that God has given us. So we have to be determined. We have to be focused on those things. Joel was talking about that this morning, and I think that's part of the foundation that the Lord gives us when we turn our hearts over to him, is to be able to structure that faith and that hope within ourselves, to see and to prove and to know that he is. And when we're confident in that, it becomes that much more easier to share with others, to help others out. And so Philippians 2:13 and 16, it says, "For God, it is God, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings or disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that it may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. And so this message here is to be determined. You know, have your mindset, apply it, focus on the goal, and make a difference. Make a difference in your life. Make a difference in other people's lives. And one of the things I think about is, and it's very challenging. This is a difficult in my work environment, is to be proactive, especially when you're working in a field where you're waiting for things to happen and then you fix it. It's very challenging. And so, you know, these preventative maintenance programs are great. They're put together. But part of that preventative maintenance program is to be able to get the equipment, the vehicles in to be serviced prior to when they're due for service or when they are due. That's one of the biggest challenges that we have. But, you know, when we're facing these things in life, you know, if we foresee something or we see something brewing inside of us, it's good to be proactive and to express ourselves to the Lord in a fashion that is requesting Him and His help. And one of the things that if we are proactive, we're always thinking of a way to continue to grow and to be able to spread our knowledge and the blessings, the testimonies that the Lord gives us. And so I truly believe in physics, it's proven that forward motion gives you momentum. And so, you know, one of those things is, you know, when we're moving forward, we need to be able to fuel that. We need to be able to, just like a vehicle needs to go, it needs fuel. And that fuel that we get is through the Lord's word. And Joel was talking about that this morning, feasting upon that word, letting it fuel us. And one of the things I appreciate about making jam that's really neat is the amount of sugar you get to use. Because if you ever need fuel in the morning, spreading some jam on a piece of toast and having that with a cup of coffee really gets you going. And it really puts a lot of umption in your gumption and helps you be able to get through those rough mornings, especially, you know, I'm getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's still dark out and it's a struggle. But, you know, that little bit of energy, that little bit of boost that you get from those sugars and the caffeine really pick you up and get you going. But, you know, such is the word of God. It's fuel to help you when you're struggling. It helps you be able to endure, to have energy, to be able to have strength. And that's one of the things that when you're lacking nourishment is your mind gets distorted. You can't focus properly. You can be forgetful. You know, so that's why nutrients is so important. And that's why God's word is so important to us. And, you know, part of that is, you know, once the sun comes up, the light hits us, you know, everything kind of changes. You know, it's like you're turning a page and you just feel awake as you feel the warmth of the sun on you. It's pretty neat. And I'm not a big fan of getting up when it's dark out, but, you know, we learn to adapt. We learn to do the things that are necessary to give us the right frame of mind when we get started in the day. And part of that is knowing that God is with us to help us overcome the task that we have every day. And there's always something. And so, you know, one of the things that we need to do when I look back and when I look forward is a fresh start, a restart to this. So we have a new year coming up. And it's a time where we can assess our situation. We can look for new goals to achieve. And we can put those things out there for ourselves. But, you know, most importantly, as it says in 1 John 1, 7 through 9. You know, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that is a good place to start. You know, look for that light, look for where you're at, and to ask the Lord to give you that fresh start, to forgive you of those sins that you committed, and to give you a new perspective on how to achieve and to be fruitful for him. And it refers back to the first scriptures I read. It was John 15:3, and it says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And that's the word. If we apply that word in our lives and we strive to do that word and we're in it for the long haul, God is gonna bless us in that walk. He's going to show us the light. He's going to help us be able to grow from the light and from the feasting upon the word. And I appreciate the light of God in my life. And it's interesting how life needs light. And one of the things that I've been doing, or that I did in the last couple weeks, is, and I've talked about this at one of my previous sermons, we pulled out some old hibiscus bushes in my front yard. Eric got to drive his Suburban. We wrapped them up and yanked them out. Well, I have a big pygmy palm, if that's a way to describe it. So it's a pygmy palm. It's mature enough to be able to put out these seedlings, that the shoots that come off of it. And I propagated those and I put them in my walkway about a year and a half ago. And since we pulled out some of those bushes along my driveway, I was like, well, you know what? I could tell that these palms, these little baby palms, don't have enough light, because some of you have been over to my house. It's about 15 feet of a walkway to my front door. On the east and west side, there's the walls of the house, and the house is north facing. And the only light that comes in is from the north, which the sun is always on the horizon from east to west behind the house on the south side. And these palms, these baby palms, are actually, they're not growing up and look like the normal palm that you would see out in the light. They actually were growing to like absorb the light coming from the front of the walkway from the north. It was really interesting. And I kind of felt bad because I'm like, man, these things, they want to live, they want to grow, and they're fighting to get that light. And so recently I took those propagated palms off the big pygmy palm and I moved them out into the drive, and we'll see where it goes. I think they're going to do really good. They're a little stressed out now, but I think in the days to come, when it starts to become spring and it starts warming up, that these palms hopefully are going to flourish, and they're going to grow, and they're going to thrive. And it's interesting how if you transition something that's lacking the light, and seeing the slow growth, the irregular growth, and what it's trying to do, it's trying to get to the light for life. And you put these things out there, and we'll see where we're at in a couple years. But I have confidence that these plants will thrive, and I have confidence that anybody that puts in themselves in a path and walks in the light of God will thrive, will be blessed, will grow, will be able to be fruitful and produce that sweet fruit. And so, you know, what do we got to do? We got to refocus in our life. Luke 10, 25 through 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Christ, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." And, you know, to me, this gentleman already knew what he had to do. And we have the word, and the Lord teaches us. So sometimes we kind of get out of tune with where we're at with the Lord, and we need to refocus on that. And, you know, I was thinking about this and New Year's resolutions. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. If I have an objective or a goal in my life, I usually just start it at a random time and work towards that goal until it's accomplished. And there's a seriousness that comes with being resolute. And I did a little bit of digging on this, and I found in Forbes online, Forbes magazine online, they did a survey. It is said for at the beginning of a new year, people often take stock of their life, right? They kind of refocus, they reassess where they're at and where they're going. And so this poll, the survey they did, they assessed their past and consider the trajectory they're now on. And so they're talking about making these New Year resolutions. And 48% of the people said that they're going to be improving their fitness, and it's going to be the top priority in 2024. And lose weight, that was 48% lose weight was 34%, improved diet was 32%, and mental health was 36%. And 80% of those respondents to that survey were confident in their ability to be able to reach their goals. That's great. You know, it's really good. Joel talked about that this morning. These two sermons are kind of going hand in hand. You know, and if we do set goals with the Lord, be confident in knowing that He's there to support you to be able to achieve those goals. And then in reality, you know, I am, not now, I try to get outside as much as possible, especially in this beautiful weather. I really appreciate the outdoors and God's creation. But, you know, starting probably the day after tomorrow, the gym's probably closed. You see that wave of new people come in, and they're all for it and have this resolution that they're changing their lives. And then Forbes says, and this is pretty close because I've been going to the gym for a few years now. It says Forbes found that the average resolution lasts 3.74 months. And that's a little giving for that, but it's pretty close to what I see and I have observed in the past. What does this say here? Oh, okay, this is a pretty good one. I thought this was interesting. It says, failing at New Year's resolutions is so common, I never heard of this, that there's even a slew of dates commemorating such failures. Some sources cite ditch New Year's resolution day as January 17th. So if January 17th comes up and you hear this, I guess people say that's the ditch New Year's resolution day. And while others denote the second Friday in January as Quitter's Day, I found that pretty interesting. But the one thing in all seriousness is the dedication and the determination and the discipline that we have when we follow after the Lord. I want us as God's children to be resolute. If you make a resolution, great, but be resolute. And I looked it up in 1838, and it says, having a fixed purpose, determined, bold, firm, steady, constant in pursuing a purpose. So whether you entered the waters of baptism, whether you're thinking about it, when you do, be resolute. Understand that there's nothing but goodness that comes from the gospel, from the love of God, and to share that, to be able to let it work within your life, give you the energy and the strength. You're going to see how it puts wind in your sails. You're going to see how it motivates you and helps you be able to stay on the right path, to walk in that light. And so the other thing is you got to remember, And that's one of the things at the end of the year, you know, remember all of where you came from, your humble beginnings. You know, a lot of us here, you know, I don't think any of us here were born with a silver spoon in our mouth. You know, we come from very humble beginnings, but how wonderful you feel when you look back and you see how blessed you are and how rich you are, how rich inside, how much you have to share, how much you have to give because of the richness of the love that God puts in our hearts. It says in Deuteronomy 8:11 through 14, it says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart will be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." So God was sending a warning, you know, when it all becomes good, when you're comfortable, when you're settled in, when you're doing awesome in your temporal life, don't forget the humble beginnings that come with that. And so with all the craziness that go on in our lives, you know, it's easy for us to forget. And in this book that I read, it's interesting because this gentleman is an ex-Navy SEAL. I really like these books. Their life stories are very interesting. And he calls it a mental lab. You know, all these trials and tribulations that this guy has been through. And it's like, how does he turn out the way he is? Well, you know, one of the things that he expressed in his book is that in the midst of battle, there comes a time when it's getting so crazy that you have to reassess where you're at to get your bearings, and you have to reorganize and rearrange all of your gear and your equipment to give you a clear sense of what it is you're facing and where it's going to lead you, where you're going, so you can understand what you need to do. And one of the things that was brought up was taking a knee. You know, and put a quietness all around you, no matter what's going on, because that's something you do to be able to focus on what the objectives are. And I found that really interesting because I'm like, man, if I was in those situations, in those scenarios, and I was taking a knee, the first thing I would assess is, where am I? You know, I'd be lifting my voice to the Lord saying, "Lord, I need you at this time." I'm not sure if this gentleman's religious or not, but it helped me be able to put this into perspective to know that, you know, whether we're in the office or whether we're in a classroom or in our own room, you know, if it's that bad, take a knee and let the Lord know, put your all of your tools on the table and take an assessment of what you can and you can't do, what you can use, what you don't need, to help you be able to know where you're going. And God will give you the discernment. He'll give you the counsel to be able to help you through those difficult times. And this relates to the first in John 15, where I was reading in verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." And some of that I think about is, you know, you look at trees, fruit trees, vines, there's branches that cannot support. They don't have the proper nutrients. They can't support the fruit that they have, and that fruit dies off and falls off of that vine. And so that could happen to us as well if we're not reaching, if we're not asking and praying for that nutrients from God to help us be able to grow and to support and to deal with all of these difficulties that we have in life. And so that word abide, to rest or dwell, to continue permanently, or in the same state, to be firm and immovable, to remain and continue
to wait for, to be prepared for, to await, excuse me, to endure or sustain. And so that abiding is so important for us to do with the Lord, to have him there all the time in our lives as part of it. And John 15, 9, relating back to the opening scriptures, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He's providing that. He's offering that to all of us to, with open arms, to continue in his love. And all those good things come from that. So remember our humble beginnings, where we came from, and God is going to continue to show us a way to help us be able to be rich inside through the blessings that he gives us. And in Proverbs chapter 8, 17 through 19, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And I really appreciate that, because, you know, to have it, for it to be said for his fruit is better than gold. You know, it's kind of hard to, especially with, I'm not trying to say that the fruit in Arizona is bad, but it's not always the freshest. And when you have something off a tree that you have and you don't buy it from the store, Duane's Tangelos are amazing. And you taste that. And, you know, it's just amazing how much you appreciate it because of the joy it gives you in your taste buds and in your mind. I really appreciate Duane's Tangelos. It actually, and Joel as well, with his oranges and his lemons. And I appreciate that because it inspired me to do the same thing. I got a Tangelo tree. I got a navel orange tree. And I've got a lemon tree, which we'll get to here in a second. But it says in John 15, verse 8, it was, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And in Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And that's, you know, so true. When we see what the Lord gives in abundance, we have, and we appreciate. And so I preach a sermon, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, right? And that picture with the little, it looks like a lime, but that's actually a lemon. This was today out back, so that's my little tree with four lemons I'm all excited about. And this jar right there, I actually, it looks like Mountain Dew in a jar, but it's not. I put a light behind it. It's this right here. And that is marmalade. It's the same as jam, but with marmalade, you actually do a really thin sliced pieces of the lemon rind. You boil it, and then you add it into the jam. You kind of put it all together, and it's wonderful. And it's kind of funny how in our previous verses here, that his fruit is better than gold. And it's so interesting, because when I started first making jams and I was tasting them, I was like, man, this is like liquid gold right here. And it's just so delicious. But, you know, the Lord shows us and teaches us, you know, I had to learn how to do that, trial and error, just such is life. And the end result is something wonderful that not only do I get to experience, but that I can share with others and teach others if others are interested. It's very simple. You know, real quick, basically all it is equal parts fruit to equal parts sugar, a few tablespoons of lemon juice for the acidity, and pectin. And that's it. And you got to boil it just right. So if you're interested in jam, we be jamming. So this is something that, you know,
Just like nourishing the word, and we read in Alma chapter 16, 170 to 173 about nurturing that word and how the fruit is most precious and sweet above all that is sweet. And it's just really neat. I'm not going to read those verses. It's just really neat how simple things can make a big difference in somebody's life. Like, you know, you guys probably, it really brings me joy to make this, you know, simple things like that. And it brings a peace and calmness in your life. One of the things I learned yesterday real quick was how to sew a button. And I was all excited because I never knew how to sew a button. I have the shirt that I really like that my dog ate the buttons off of. And so for Christmas, my mom got me a little sewing kit as kind of like a joke. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that sewing kit and I'm going to learn how to sew. And one of the neatest things is when the hardest part is threading the needle, right? When we talk about that in the scriptures, man, I'm telling you, that is like the most, 5 minutes to thread a needle, but you get the double string through it. And there's a special way. You put an X on the one finger, you roll it, and you put your index finger out, and boom, you got a knot. It's like the neatest thing. And I was so excited, and Alicia was just laughing at me because of the simple things for simple minds. But, you know, I really thank God for the ability to appreciate little things. I think we all should, because, you know, if something so simple brings us joy, when we get into very complex, difficult situations, I believe in the Lord gives us the capability to be able to break it down and to simplify it so we can figure out and whether we divide it up and attack it in different directions or however we go about doing it. When we learn how to establish discipline in doing simple things, we can translate that to those difficult things and be able to break them down and to be able to understand and have a good focus on it. And so, you know, so six little lemons. I have four here. I didn't use these lemons for the lemon marmalade, but I did buy some. And with a few little lemons, you can make quite a bit of goodness. And, you know, just no matter what the Lord gives you in your life, if you have a little bit, you can be abundant with it. God proves that with the loaves of bread and the fishes. You know, there's so little. But again, with the love of God, it's so much. And you can give so much to thousands. It's interesting how the Lord works and how I'm just overwhelmed by His capability, and I praise Him for that. And it says in Psalms 34:8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." And so if you, you know, in your life, if you're challenged in any way, take that knee, you know, assess where you're at, lift your voice to the Lord. And then if we're willing to learn and apply the lessons God gives us, great is the reward. It's the fruit is better than gold. And it's for not only for you to enjoy and to appreciate, but as God designed it, it's for us to help others see and appreciate, to draw them in, to show them how good God is and to glorify God in doing so. So Happy New Year, and God bless each and every one of you in the new year to come. That is my thought. That has been in my prayers, and I know life is going to present challenges, but just think about a few of those things and try to make it, even as complex as it can be, try to make it simple, and the Lord will help you be able to accomplish that. So God bless each and every one of you, and thank you.